would be doers of your word. I pray that you'd speak through me, Lord. Use me as your mouthpiece, and we'll give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So, something in this life that I think we all need is faith. You know, we teach kids a song in Sunday school about Abraham. You know, he's the father of faith. And we sing a song, I'm sure you sing it here in the States, and we definitely sing it in the Dominican, and that's the song Father Abraham. And we sing, Father Abraham had many sons had Father Abraham. I'm one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And, you know, we do right arm, right leg. You know, we do it in Spanish, and we teachers love that, right? Because we get our kids excited and moving around, and maybe they'll sit down for a little bit after that and pay attention, right? Kids like to move around. But by the time we reach our respective ages, we've got people here from all ages, I think, some little kids, some teenagers, some adults, some older adults, mature adults. Choose my words carefully. But I think there's still something we can learn, even from all the Bible stories we've heard about Abraham. I think there's still something we can learn from him tonight. I got asked a question a couple years ago. We were standing in a parking lot in Oklahoma City after church, and this jogger comes running by, and we're like, hey, can we leave you a track? And so he's like, yeah, sure. And so he asks us this question. He says, so what does your faith look like? Or what's faith? And I thought to myself, man, that's a good one, you know? And so my uncle was with me. And so, you know, he was quoting some different scriptures and that, and kind of asking him some questions, you know, because some people just like to ask you hard questions just to see what your answer is, if you got an answer, you know. Reminds me of 1 Peter 13, be ready to give an answer to every man, right?
Yeah.
But I thought about that, and I was like, man, you know, what actually is faith? And so, you know, sometimes it can seem like an abstract idea, like maybe justice or courage or integrity. You know, how do you go about describing those? They're just more like abstract ideas. But faith, I don't think it really fits into that category. I think the Bible clearly shows us what faith is, and God expects that from us. So I'd like to look quickly three aspects of faith. And so we already looked at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And my first point is faith defined. I feel like if there's any verse in the Bible that defines faith, it's this one. This is our definition of faith, what faith is. And for a lot of things in the Bible, we don't get definitions. You know, sometimes we wish we would get a definition of election or other things like that, but we don't. But for faith, we do get a definition. And that's what verse 1 is. Let me read it again. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. So that first phrase, that substance, in the original Greek, it kind of gives the idea of confidence or assurance. So, you know, that's what faith is. It says faith is confidence, faith is assurance. That's what faith is. And so, and then the second part of that verse, the second phrase, it says the evidence of things not seen. That word evidence kind of, we know that word evidence, proof or conviction. And so that's kind of our definition of faith. It's confidence or assurance, and it's proof or it's conviction of things that we haven't seen. And so that's really what faith is. And so that's really not too hard for us to understand. It's just belief, really, and confidence. And then we all exhibit faith every single day. Did you know even atheists exhibit faith? I'm not going to use the illustration. I feel like it's probably a little bit worn out of, you know, a preacher will get a chair up here, and he says, okay, go ahead and sit down. You know, we sit down, and we have faith in the chair, right? I'm not going to use that one. Or maybe even the pew. I'm not going to use that one. But, you know, even when we go to turn the lights on, turn them off, we have faith in that whenever we flip the on switch, it's going to come on. We flip the off switch, it's going to go off. And if it doesn't, we're like flipping it up and down, what's going on here? You know, and then we're like so put out, wow, the light bulb's gone out. First world problems, right? But we have faith in that. You know, we have faith in light bulbs and things like that. And we also have faith in our gas pedal and our brake pedal. You know, yeah. If we like the gas pedal to, you know, and take us, and you know, when we need to stop, press the brake, and we have faith in those things. And so even small children, we all have that concept, that idea of faith ingrained in us. And so it's not anything that it's something special that I don't know what faith is. Faith is, we all have it. We practice it regularly. But what's important is the object of our faith. And so let me take us all back to English class. You know, in English, they'll have us deal with the direct object and the indirect object. And so let me give you an example sentence that I thought of. I bought Mom ice cream, okay? Actually, let me change it to Mom bought me ice cream. Yeah. That's probably more so the way it goes. Yeah. But anyways, so Mom bought me ice cream. So first, my English teacher always said, you find your verb first. So our verb is bought, right? Action verb, okay, very good. Write an AV on top of that if you're, you know, if we're being real particular. And then we find our subject, right? So that's Mom, you know, good old Mom. So Mom, so that's our subject, and we got our action verb bought. And so maybe a mistake we all made growing up was we would say, okay, probably direct object and then indirect object, right? No, that's not the way it works, right? So maybe we marked me as our direct object and ice cream as our indirect object. Well, then your teacher would have you read it. Okay, say it like this. You know, noun or your subject, your verb, direct object, indirect object. So if we were reading it in that way, we would say, Mom bought me for ice cream, if we marked it wrong, right? That's not right. We would have to, we need to swap that around, indirect object as me and direct object as ice cream. And we would read it correctly, Mom bought ice cream for me, right? So that's just, you know, something I thought of thinking about objects, but the object of our faith is Jesus. Yeah. A lot of people have faith. A lot of people have faith in Allah or Buddha or whoever else or Joseph Smith, but it's the object that matters. So it's not just the fact that we have faith. We have faith in a light bulb and a light switch. Okay, that's good. But we need to have faith in the right thing. And that's where our faith is. It's in Jesus. And that's where our salvation comes from. Faith doesn't save us, but Jesus does. Faith in Jesus does. He's the object of our faith. And so faith is important. It should be important to each one of us, because without it, we're not going to heaven. And so that's something to keep in mind. So Hebrews 11, verse 1, that's faith defined. I was reading a while back, and I absolutely love this next passage. Well, in Romans 4. We'll turn there in a second, but let's look at Hebrews 11, verse 2. It says, for by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. And so we'll look at one of the elders that obtained a good report tonight a little bit later. So let's turn to Romans 4, if you would, please. Romans 4, verse 18. Great chapter towards the end of it that talks about Abraham's faith. About Abraham. So Romans 4 and verse 18. It says this. Who against hope, talking about Abraham, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So shall thy seed be called. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So a couple thoughts in these verses that kind of stuck out to me. If Hebrews 11:1 is the description, is the definition of faith, I feel like this is the description of faith, of what faith is and what it looks like. In verse 18, it talks about who against hope believed in hope. That against hope kind of means, you know, against common sense, that he believed in spite of what common sense told him. Common sense told him there is no absolute way that me and Sarah can have a son. But God says so, so I believe it. Amen. And that's what faith is, believing God. That's what faith is. And then in verse 19, it says, and being not weak in faith, so he was strong in faith, he considered not. So that word considered just means he didn't pay it any mind. He didn't really care that his body was now dead. He was old. He was about 100 years old. He didn't consider that. He didn't regard his age. And in verse 20, it says he staggered not. That word staggered is kind of the same idea we get in James 1 when it talks about he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea. And so that kind of like wavering, like, oh, you know, God said, okay, I know, but common sense and, you know, I'm old. And he wasn't wavering. He didn't stagger at God's promise. And so, and then at the end of that, the end of that verse 20, it says, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You know, when we show faith in God, we're glorifying God. We're showing others even that God's worthy, you know, for us to put our faith in him and to trust him. And honestly, that's our purpose here on earth. It's not our purpose. We're here for no other reason but to bring glory to God. That's what we were created for, and that's what we need to be doing. And being strong in faith like Abraham was is a good way that we can glorify God. And so this passage is a great description of what faith looks like. It's believing believing in spite of common sense, not considering the circumstances. Abraham was old, right? Common sense told him, you can't have a son. It's not wavering in faith at God's promise, and it's being fully persuaded. And that's really what faith is. That's all faith is. It's not some weird idea that, you know, maybe it's not, can't be explained. It's easily explained. It's believing. It's believing and believing God and what he says. Let's flip back over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 talks some more about Abraham towards the end of that passage. It says, verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And here we get to Sarah. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. Verse 17, talking about later in Abraham's life, after he had already had Isaac. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Listen to this verse. Accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. So here we see, time after time, Abraham, by faith Abraham, through faith Sarah. Abraham lived a life of faith, and he, no matter what common sense told him, his circumstances, he was faith. He was exhibited faith, and he did what he was obedient, in spite of what common sense told him, what he thought. He was faithful to God. God told him, "Hey, you're going to have a son." He said, "Yes, sir, I believe it." And obviously, we know he had him. He messed up. Having faith doesn't mean you don't ever doubt. You know, Abraham and a lot of the patriarchs in the Bible, you can read about where they had times they messed up. And that doesn't mean they didn't have faith. Abraham was regarded, you know, as a person who was full of faith. So, you know, we've looked at Abraham and his faith and even Sarah's faith, and we know that she definitely had a time where she even laughed whenever they told her she was going to have a son. But this account, maybe in Hebrews, doesn't really go into all the nitty-gritty of, you know, what happened. You can read that account in Genesis of all the details of what happened and the circumstances, going down to Egypt, telling Pharaoh, hey, no, she's my sister, you know, and she wasn't his sister, and things like that. But, you know, a lot of times we go and we hear stories like this from the Bible, and we read our Bible at the house. And I know, speaking from personal experience, a lot of times we read stories and we're like, oh, what a great story. You know, all turned out good. God saved the day. God, you know, kept his promise. What a great story. We close our Bibles and we go on. But what does that mean for us today, though? What can we learn from their faith? You know, God gave us the Bible to mold us into who he'd have us to be. And so for the last thing I'd like us to look at is faith determined. So why do we need faith? Well, spoiler alert, without faith, none of us are going to heaven. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. There's that faith described there, believe. That's what faith is, believing. And if we don't believe, we're not going to heaven. And we know that. But, you know, that's faith, believing. And faith is also involved in our assurance of salvation, you know, taking God at his word. We believe God saved us. And if God says you're going to heaven, if you believe, well, then you just got to believe what God says. And that's all it comes down to. That's where we get our assurance of salvation from. And, you know, we also need faith in as we pray. James, I referenced James 1, 6, and 7. talking about prayer, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Right? So there we need, and I'm sure we all pray, but faithless prayer is something that God doesn't answer. God expects us to pray in faith, believing. And without that, we can't really expect to see our prayers answered if we're not praying in faith. And even we need faith to be obedient. You know, back in our text, Hebrews 11, verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. And so to be obedient to that, I guarantee you, Noah had a lot of faith. Build an ark for 120 years and preach all those years. And in Sunday school this morning, the teacher, he was talking about, you know, the 7 days they went into the ark, God told him, he said, in 7 days it's going to rain. Noah went in, and they waited in the ark for 7 days. I know that doesn't sound like a long time compared to the 120 years he built the ark, but still, can you imagine, like, you know, God told him all that, but can you imagine sitting, you know, maybe in this room for 7 days? Because God's going to do something. He wants you to wait here. That's a long time. You know, I bet day six, he was like, man, am I crazy? You know, do I need to, like, you know, go maybe cook some food? That's faith. That's faith. Noah had a lot of faith to be in the circumstances he was in and to obey God anyways, right? Besides what common sense told him, the circumstances, there's nobody had ever seen rain. People told him he was crazy, I'm sure, multiple times a day. But we need faith to be obedient to God. And also we need faith in difficult circumstances to believe God's promises. You know, famous promise that we all claim, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. And we can go through and we can read countless of God's promises. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is our refuge and our fortress, a very present help in trouble. And so we can know all these promises, but to be able to, for them to help us, for we got to have faith in God that what God says is true. You know, there's plenty of people that talk and they say, you know, the Bible this, the Bible that, you know, it ain't true and it's not inerrant, it's not preserved, whatever. But it's faith that tells us, hey, I believe God. God said he preserved it. I believe God. And so faith in God will get us through the absolute hardest times in our life. And I'm sure everyone in this room could stand up and give a two-hour speech of all the, maybe even longer, of all the difficult circumstances they've been through and how God's brought them through. We've all been there, you know. And I've known a lot of people that just haven't made it in life. A lot of people my age, maybe we've gone through some of the same circumstances, and they're away from the Lord now. And, you know, it's really sad. Why? Their faith was wavering, you know. They didn't make God their refuge. And, their faith was shaky. And obviously, I'm not here telling you that my faith's never been shaken. And I'm sure that nobody here could honestly say that their faith has never shaken. Just like Abraham, he got right with God and got back to obeying. And that's all that we can do. And we get back to obeying God and putting our faith in him. And God will bring us through those times. And, God was able to use Abraham. Why? Because as Romans 4 tells us, Abraham believed God. And so, you know, we've defined faith tonight. We've looked at it described, and we looked at it determined. And so, you know, we start our journey of faith at salvation, but that's only the beginning. That's only the beginning of our faith. Faith isn't only for the unsaved. It's for Christians. And so I hope that we all have a better understanding maybe of what faith is tonight. And, you know, that's what my desire is. And God's too, not that we have a better understanding only, but that we put our faith, we exercise our faith. And so I don't know if God's speaking to anybody tonight about, you know, maybe just about being obedient to him and having the faith to be obedient, or just having the faith to trust him in difficult circumstances of your life. But I pray that that you listen to God's voice. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful time you've given us here at church tonight. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how it speaks to our hearts, Lord, and how it teaches us and molds us and shapes us, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, you would work on our hearts and you would help us to be obedient to you, Lord. I pray that you would help our faith, you would grow our faith. Lord, we know you bring us through difficult circumstances in our lives to grow our faith. And Lord, you give us tests and trials, Lord, so we can become more like you. So Lord, I pray that you bless this church, Lord.